Alrighty, we continue this evening in our studies in the book of Leviticus, the third book of the Old Testament, where the Lord has been teaching us proper worship. Actually, historically, he's been teaching the tribe of Levi the proper worship at the tabernacle. Tonight we come to the 11th chapter, and quite a change is made after all this discussion of worshiping God at the tabernacle. The Lord changes and comes to what would seem like common, ordinary, everyday occurrences regarding diet, regarding certain animals you come in contact with. And what the Lord is showing here is that when it comes to his people, in these guidelines that he's going to give for his people, he's interested in what happens in our lives, even the ordinary things. We tend to try to separate in our minds the sacred from the secular, thinking, well, you know, we're at church now and we got to be act a certain way because this is the sacred house of God, but when we step outside the doors, that all of a sudden we're leading our secular lives. And what God is saying is, when you're one of mine, you're one of mine 24/7. And there really isn't so much of a separation between the sacred and the secular. You're my people, and you'll be holy, and you're going to separate the clean from the unclean in all aspects of life, including when you leave the house of God. And so tonight in this 11th chapter, we'll look at God's guidelines for the children of Israel, and he's going to talk about their diet, he's going to talk about their defilement, and he's going to talk about their dedication. And so why don't we begin reading through Leviticus 11, beginning in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven-footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he's unclean unto you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he's unclean to you. And the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he's unclean unto you. And the swine, though he divide the hoof, and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he's unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch, they are unclean to you. So we'll just stop there at the first paragraph marking and see how the Lord is moving in and showing these folks that they have permission, like he gave Noah when they got off the ark, to eat flesh, but only certain kinds of flesh if you're God's people. Now, historically, God wasn't kidding around about this. He was deadly serious. This was part of the dietary law for God's people. This just wasn't for the priests. This was, verse 2, unto the children of Israel. No matter which tribe you were from, male or female, adult or child, these were dietary laws being prescribed. God expected obedience in them. Remember, the law that was given in the Old Testament had three parts to it. And there was, of course, the moral law, that's the Ten Commandments, that's never done away with, in or out of Christ. But then there were the other two aspects of the law, the civil law and the ceremonial law. And this is falling under the ceremonial law of how you live on your daily life. And under this law, this will be done away and nailed to the cross, as one of the ordinances nailed to the cross. For us in the New Testament, it is done away with. For us in the Old in the New Testament, we know that these particular laws will not apply to us in a literal sense. And just to show you some verses so you can understand this, we'll start with Jesus in Mark chapter 7. And then I'll come back and show you what the Lord was doing historically. But I want to understand spiritually right now. Although there is a spiritual application, there is not a literal application to us. Mark chapter 7. In this particular chapter, the Pharisees are coming together, verse 1, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem, when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that's to say unwashing hands, they found fault. And they began to argue and chide with Jesus and his disciples over the foods they were eating and the way they were doing it. Later on, Jesus explained to them, verse 14, he called all the people unto him and said, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 17, and when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. He saith unto them, are ye so without understanding? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile in him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, 13 things mentioned there. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Jesus is saying, we're coming to a point now where this ceremonial law isn't going to matter. You have to understand the problem is the heart. It's from within the heart. It's not from without that's going to be a problem. You have to understand it's the heart I'm coming to cleanse. And this ceremonial law is going to be put away. Go to Romans chapter 14. And then Paul will confirm it in doctrinal epistles. Romans is a great doctrinal book. And Romans 14, Paul explains to us all through the 14th chapter and finally summing it up in verse 14. So 14:14. Romans 14:14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus there's nothing unclean of itself. Now he's speaking in a spiritual manner. There's nothing spiritually unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. If you want to believe that and you want to behave that way, the 14th chapter is talking about the difference of how certain people want to live their Christian life. Well, then if you're fully persuaded, live that way. But I'm persuaded, and I'm telling you, Paul says, there's nothing unclean of itself spiritually. You are at liberty in the New Testament to eat anything you want. As one preacher said, if you want to eat rattlesnake meat, go ahead and eat it. Now, I'm not going to do it, but you can. And it will not defile you. It's going to go into your belly and go out in the draft, and it's not going to defile you, and it's not spiritually unclean today. He gives other ones. Go to the next book, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. A couple more references so you understand this. Understanding today in the church, under grace, the diets that you eat and the foods that you touch are not a means of salvation or holiness. But it's going to be different with the ceremonial law and the Jew. And I'll show you this. 1 Corinthians 8. Look at verse 8. Meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Chapter 10, he says in verse 31, so whether therefore you eat or you drink, whatsoever you do, do all unto the glory of God. You're at liberty to eat anything today because the ceremonial law has been nailed to the cross. It's one of the ordinances nailed to the cross. So we understand today it will not affect us spiritually. But here, working with the Jewish people in the Old Testament, what the Lord was doing in back in Leviticus chapter 11 was a couple of things. One of the things he was doing was protecting his people. You're going to find as you read through this particular chapter over the years, through scientific knowledge, you will find that the very foods that God said were good to eat are actually healthy for human physiology. And the ones that God said not to eat are not healthy. The very foods that he's going to prescribe to avoid are the very ones that tend to carry parasites. Parasites are feeders that live inside the bloodstream and inside various organisms. And what they do is they feed on the host's tissue and on the host's blood, and they cause disease. And Moses didn't know this, but God knew it. And the very foods he's recommending to stay away from, whether they be foods on land, foods that fly in the air, or the foods that are found in the waters, it's the ones that are the most dangerous to human health. And throughout the years, and the parasites that have been found are like, you've got the amoeba, you've got the protozoans, you've got the ones that cause malaria and the red blood cells, amoebic dysentery, roundworms, parasitic flatworms, flukes in the intestine, tapeworms, hookworms, all the animals that God was telling the people to avoid are full of those parasites. And through the history of the Jewish people, you will find that through the years, their longevity was greater than any Gentile. Through the history of the Jewish people, from about 1490 BC, from the time the Levitical law was given, and the Jews that obeyed the Levitical law had a life expectancy of 70 to 80 years. The life expectancy for a Roman was about 42 years. For a Greek, it was about the same. The life expectancy hovered around the 40-year mark until the early 1900s, with the invention of discovery of antibiotics, and finally a way to have good sanitation systems in the cities to get the sewage out. The life expectancy in the United States of America was 48 years old and at the turn of 1900. Back then. And the Jews were living to 70 and 80 because they were obeying the Levitical law. There is physical health to be found obeying Leviticus 11. Spiritually, do what you want. Go eat the rattlesnake meat. You can eat the things that he tells you not to eat here. You can do it. Don't be surprised if you end up with a protozoan or a parasite or a tapeworm or a hookworm inside of you. Let's go to a doctor. The doctor will take care of it. They'll do a scope on you. They'll put things in you. They'll do stuff and clean you out. But if you follow what God says here, you're liable to live a healthier life. Physically. Spiritually, have at it. Like Paul says, I'm persuaded. It's nothing unclean of itself spiritually. Go right about and do as you please. Now I'll tell you, as a doctor, and I take care of him every day, and I took care of one yesterday, I took a look. If Americans ever ate the Levitical law, 80% of us would be out of business. 80% of doctors would be out of business. My observation is the majority of problems I take care of at the hospital are self-induced by bad diet and bad lifestyle. But God cared for his children, and he told his children, this is what you eat, whether it be on the land, from the air, or in the waters. You follow this, and God was taking care of his children. The tribes of Israel that tended to break the Levitical law had shorter life expectancies, like the Gadarenes up in Gad, where they took care of the pork and they did the things that God told them not to do. They had more diseases. But this is the laws being put here for one purpose, purpose number one, to protect God's people. When God gives you a law, it's to protect you. He's concerned about you. You know those Ten Commandments are wise to keep. They're good. You say, I can't keep them. I know you can't keep them, natural man. No man can keep the Ten Commandments. But if you have the power of Jesus Christ inside of you, you don't break the law. God forbid, now you can fulfill the law. This is the first time you can keep the law through the power of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that, Christian? Do you believe that? Don't you know Jesus has power over all flesh? Don't you know if you ask him to live the life through you, he'll keep the Ten Commandments? He did it before. He'll do it again if you're a willing vessel. Those are healthy for you. The Ten Commandments in this Levitical chapter right here is good for you physically. Spiritually, you're free to break Leviticus 11. Spiritually, you're not free to break those Ten Commandments. Now, I know the blood of Christ pays for your sin, but if you break the Ten Commandments, you're going to pay. In your flesh, be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap, Christian. God can still punish you in your body. He can't punish your soul. He's got hands off your soul. But he can chasten you in your body. So just a little word of a warning to you. Leviticus 11, first reason, done for the protection of God's people because God loves his children. The second reason he's doing it is he's teaching them on a daily basis to put a difference between the clean and the unclean. every time they eat, three times a day. God is teaching them how to discern and divide. In other words, it's not just here at the tabernacle, it's in your daily life. You need to learn to make those discerning decisions as to what's clean and what's unclean. It's to teach them a manner of life, a purpose in their life, that they can see the difference between light and darkness. Down here on planet Earth, we think everything's a shade of gray. God says, let me draw some demarcating lines. This is okay, this is not okay. Every day as you begin to practice it, you go, okay, I'm starting to get this, I'm getting the habit of this. And it's okay here, and it's not here. And then in this region of my life, this is okay and this isn't okay. And God is teaching you how to have wisdom. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. Once you look, God's saying, let me show you some basic judgment and let this practice. You work on this over and over and over. It's like a football player. You teach him a basic thing. Practice over and over and over. A piano player, practice over and over and over. Something simple. Now he's ready for the deeper things, the more complicated things. God's doing something simply on a daily basis to teach them to discern the clean from the unclean, the good from the evil, the right from the wrong, the light from the dark. Amen. We don't spend all our time at the tabernacle. We spend most of our time away from it. God wants to teach us that judgment away from the tabernacle. Now, there is something you can observe spiritually in here if you wanted to spiritualize the verse. Verse 3, the ones you're allowed to eat are the ones that parteth the hoof. It's called cloven-footed. It's a kind of foot like you see on the horse. He's got that parted kind of hoof there. That's one. And then the second thing is the animal must chew the cud. And it has to do both, not one or the other. It had to be both. See, because you can see that the camel there, he's got that parted, he chews the cud, but he doesn't have that parted hoof. But he chews the cud. I mean, every time you see a camel, it seems like it's chewing something. I remember that one Marx Brothers movie was chewing something. Groucho goes, he got another stick of gum. And it's just always chewing something. He's chewing the cud. He's chewing the cud over and over and over. But he doesn't have that parted hoof, so he's unclean. He's a large animal like that. A small animal is the coney or the hare. They're like a kind of a European rabbit, a smaller Asian rabbit. They chew the cud, but they don't divide the hoof. They're not cloven-footed. They're unclean. The swine is just the opposite. He's got this divided hoof, but he doesn't chew the cud. Now, spiritually, what God is showing is the chewing of the cud represents taking God's food, the manna, the cud that he gives us in the Word of God, and chewing it carefully. By the way, let me just tell you, physically, one of the best things you can do when you're eating is take time to chew. Take time to chew. I have to watch this at the hospital because they're always pushing me and I'm running from one operation to another and I'm trying to wolf down my food that's not healthy. Wolves have big fangs. They don't have a lot of good grinding teeth. You want to grind. You got all those molars to grind and chew and grind and chew and grind and chew and make it particulate and fine and mix it with the saliva. It gets absorbed. The nutrients are extracted better. It gives you less heartburn. There's less of a buildup in acid in the stomach because the proper saliva goes down and helps the digestive process. There are many helpful things in chewing carefully, physically. Spiritually, the chewing of the cud is the same thing. You take that verse that you just read in the Psalms or Proverbs and you chew it over and you meditate on it and you think about it and you take time and you mingle it with other words in your mind and you think of illustrations, you put it over and then it digests and it goes down and it's absorbed and it sinks deep down into your ears and into your heart and you hear it and you get it in your heart and then you hearken and you obey. So the spiritual picture is that of taking God's food and taking the time to meditate on it. Psalm 1, the man planted by the rivers of living water, the blessed man, he's one that meditates in God's law day and night. That's the chewing of the cud. And then the second thing is the cloven hoof, the divided hoof. What that means is now there's a separation in your walk. You now walk different than you used to walk. You used to walk to the left, now you walk to the right. You have not just are you hearing the Word of God, now in your life you're working it out and walking through it. You're walking in God's Word. You have a divided walk. You have the limp that Jacob had. That's the picture. And that's clean. And God says an animal like that is clean, and looking at you as one of His children, you're clean when you chew the cud and you divide the hoof. Now He said right here, the camel and the coney, their problem is they both chew the cud, but they don't divide the hoof. The camel is a picture of a Christian teacher. He's a big leader in the church, and he's real big at teaching the Bible, but he doesn't have a walk. God says that's unclean. That's unclean. I think that's why Jesus, knowing Leviticus 11, used that joke when he said, you strain at gnats and you swallow a camel. I mean, you guys are chewing on the doctrine all the time, but you have no walk. You won't lift one finger to do the things you say. He upbraided them in Matthew 23 for that. That would be a camel. You've got a lot of Bible knowledge, but no walk. It's a Christian leader. The coney, or the hare, is someone who's not big in the church. Just a regular Christian. He doesn't have, you can't see him from 100 miles away. He's just a regular Christian. And he comes and he hears the Word of God and he chews the cud, but he doesn't walk the walk. How many Christian pastors walk out of a church and don't walk the walk? How many Christian pastors are actively trying to win souls outside of the church? Actively trying to lead a life where somebody can say, he's different. Camels. Some of them are just camels. And Christians, how many are just hares? Are just conies, like Coney Island. And they come and they hear, but then when they leave, they don't walk the walk. God says, that's unclean. And then he says, and the swine, that's another one altogether. The swine is used by an example of Peter, that, you know, who returns to the mire. Talking about the swine is someone that's unsaved. But notice about the swine, he divides the hoof. This would be like someone like a lost religious person that tries to live a holy life that everybody says, wow, he's so holy, he's so good. Look, he gives his whole life to charity. Look, she gave her whole life to giving up where she lived and moved to another country and lived among poor Indians. But she doesn't chew the cud. Doesn't have the Bible. Doesn't have God's Word. Unclean, God says. Unclean. Spiritually, that's the picture he's giving right here. Now he says, you know, that swine thing, I the religious but lost. You divide the hoof, you chew not the cud. Sometimes I think of that, except it won't really apply, but I wonder about lifestyle evangelism. You're out there dividing the hoof sometimes, but you're not chewing the cud, but really they're not dividing the hoof, so it doesn't apply. It's really religious but lost people. But not only in terms of the diet, he's saying in terms of their defilement of the flesh, verse 8, you shall not eat, and a carcass you shall not touch. They're unclean to you. Of these particular unclean animals, you had to worry about even touching their carcass because they often have parasites in the carcass. The fleas on top of them carry things, and you have to be worried. And so God was watching out for the health of his people. And sometimes we need to be very careful about associating with people like that, picking who the fellowship is. At one point, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I'll find the verse for you, where he said, I told you once, I've written to you not to company with any man that it's a fornicator. Now I'm writing to you not to company if a man is called a brother and he's a fornicator or a covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard. I don't care if he chews the cud. If he doesn't have the cloven hoof, don't touch his carcass. Don't fellowship with him a lot. You know why? He may bring you down into a fault. It's easier to pull someone down than it is to pull someone up. Try it one day when you're climbing a ladder or climbing a mountain. See what's easier. And God's warning, watch out, stay away. Those are the spiritual applications. Physical, you see, they're absolute to the Levites and to the children of Israel. In terms of those that are inside the waters, verse 9, these you shall eat that are in the waters. Whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, in the rivers, them shall you eat. all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. They shall be even an abomination unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh. You shall have their carcasses in abomination. Whatsoever hath no fins nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination unto you. Now he's talking about, he understands living by the Mediterranean Sea with the Jordan River nearby and the Sea of Galilee, there's going to be a lot of fishing going on. And whether it be a freshwater lake like the Sea of Galilee, or whether it be a saltwater region like the Mediterranean Sea, he's saying, I'm going to show you the ones that you can pick. Now, fish are vertebrate animals that live in the waters, and the variety of fish alone, the variety, is greater than all the other vertebrate land and sea animals put together. There are so many varieties of fish out there. And God's saying, let me show you the ones that you can eat safely, the ones that have fins and scales. Those are the ones that are on the move. Those are the ones that have a tight exterior to them and don't let parasitic animals get in because their scales are tight and prevent those things from lodging in their flesh on the outside. And the other ones tend to sit still and don't move, and parasites work their way in. The others tend to crawl on the bottom, and they're scavengers, and they eat a lot of unhealthy things. So again, the type of things you want to avoid are scallops, shrimp, lobster, crab, clams, all the things that are the delicacies of lost people. Those are all the things that will make you sick, physically sick. You want to eat food like that? We'll be seeing you soon at the hospital. You'll be admitted to the emergency room. You want to eat a lot of food like that. That's okay. Again, spiritually won't affect you. Physically, beware. Beware. Now, God is showing that, you know, in Matthew 13, Jesus told a parable about the fisher that went fishing, and he got a whole bunch of fish, some good and some bad. Now, what he was referring to historically was the Levitical law. When those fishers would pull it out, there were the good ones according to Levitical law. There were the bad ones. The bad ones they cast away. If they were Jews that obeyed the word of God, they cast the bad ones away. Now, of course, spiritually, there's another doctrinal application for what's going to happen in the millennium. It's the Gentiles that will follow Jesus versus the Gentiles that will follow Gog and Magog. But historically, that's what Jesus was referring to in Matthew 13 in that particular parable. The good fish versus the bad fish. They have fins and they have scales, whether they're in salt water or fresh water. I like to eat, what's that one I eat all the time? I'm bad with salmon, fins and scales. By the way, of all the flesh that you can eat, probably the easiest digestible flesh is fish with fins and scales. There's something about that type of a flesh. Flesh is a little more difficult for the human body to digest than plants and herbs and grains. It's a little more difficult for the human body to digest. It takes more acid in the stomach. It takes more energy to extract the nutrients out of it, and it takes more energy to cleanse and process and detox and get rid of it. So they're a little bit more difficult to work with, and God knows that, and the majority of your diet should not be flesh. Okay, it never was intended to be flesh. It ought not to be. Your eating pattern should be pyramidal, with most of it fruits and vegetables and grains and things like that. And the top part would be the flesh that you choose. And of the flesh you choose, the easiest to digest is fish. It's the protein is very quickly extracted. It has rich amounts of oils and vitamins that can be used in your system. It's very healthy for the heart. And so Jesus talked about fishers. Fishers of men. It's just fishing. Fishing is just something that's very, very healthy to have that type of food. Now, what I see on it spiritually, the fins and the scales, all I can get out of it in my mind, I can't find anything in the Bible, so I'll just give you a spiritual thought I have on it. The fins represent movement. And the Christian life is one of walking in the Spirit and following God. It's not one of just sitting down and resting in your Christianity. These are fish that were on the move. You should be on the move, following your Lord. And scales, of course, are something musicians use to sing. And you should have a song in your heart when you get saved. And those are the kind of good ones. You're on the move and you're singing joy to your Lord as you go along. That's just a spiritual application that I can see in there. But the historical you can see, and the physical you can see how important it is for us to eat the right foods, and the Lord works this out. There's a companion chapter to this in Deuteronomy 14, and it's more of a positive. It shows what you can eat. This is more of a negative, what not to eat. Leviticus 11, picking it up in verse 13. And these are they which ye shall have an abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, and the ossifrage, and the osprey, and the vulture, and the kite, that's a type of a falcon, after his kind, and the raven, after his kind, and the owl, and the nighthawk, and the cuckoo, that's a type of a seagull, and the hawk, after his kind, and the little owl, and the cormorant, and the great owl, and the swan, and the pelican, and the gear eagle, and the stork, and the heron, after her kind, and the lapwing, and the bat. I don't know who'd want to eat a bat. But these are all unhealthy things that feed on dead flesh. And when you're eating them, you're eating the toxins that are inside their flesh, and they're unhealthy for you. And so the Lord is helping them to avoid this. Now, what would be a healthy fowl is chicken and turkey. And again, of a type of flesh that's easy to digest. It's not as easy as the fish, but it's easier than beef. And it's something that you can digest. And there's a lot of tryptophan and essential amino acids inside chicken. They talk about chicken soup when you're sick. It really works. Those amino acids inside of chicken are ones that feed your immune system and actually help you fight off diseases when you're sick. So it's actually healthy for them. And the Jewish ladies are very good at making chicken soup. And because we had a Jewish lady live down the street, she was always giving us chicken soup. And we appreciated it. It was good. All right, verse 20. All the fowls that creep going on all four shall be an abomination to you. Looking at, and these ye may eat of every flying, creeping thing that goeth on all four, which have legs above their feet to leap withal upon the earth. What are they? Even these may ye eat. The locust after his kind, the bald locust after his kind, and the beetle after his kind, and the grasshopper after his kind, but all other flying, creeping things which have 4 feet shall be an abomination unto you. Whatsoever ye shall be unclean, whosoever toucheth the carcass of them shall be unclean unto even, whosoever beareth aught of the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean to the even. Now, in terms of that particular part of the diet, these locusts and bald locusts and grasshoppers, they're primarily vegetarian in nature. And they take right from the food chain, right at the very beginning of the food chain, and they bring these essential nutrients in, and God put them there, and I frankly don't want any part of them, but you could have them. And I think it's just a way of the Lord taking care of poor people. And those things are out there, and they're available, and they're rich in protein, and they're rich in certain vitamins, and they're rich in certain carbohydrates, and the Lord put them out there, and they're clean, and you can eat them. Now, there was a poor prophet by the name of John the Baptist that lived out in the wilderness, and his diet was locusts and wild honey. And that's what he ate. Honey's very good for you. And John the Baptist did just fine. And he probably would have lived to 80 years old if someone hadn't cut his head off. And they cut his head off for one reason, and one reason only, because he preached the gospel. And may we be so blessed as to preach the gospel when someone want to take our head off. That'd be the best way to go. Is doing it for the glory of Jesus Christ and preaching his gospel. And I'd like to be like John the Baptist, but I don't like the camel hair clothes that he wore. And I don't want the locust, but I'll eat the wild honey, and I want to preach the gospel, and I hope you're the same way. And God is merciful, and so he put some things out there that we can eat. Now, the other insects that creep around are not healthy to eat. As you can well imagine, they carry many vectors and parasites and things that cause disease. He warns again the carcass, again verse 26, the carcass of every beast which divideth the hoof and is not cloven hooded, nor cheweth the cud, they are unclean unto you. Everyone that toucheth them shall be unclean. Again, the defilement. God is worried about his people being ceremonially defiled, in addition to just the disease aspect that they will get upon them. I don't know if they had good sterilizing solutions back then. They used a lot of running water to cleanse things. But God was concerned about them for their health standpoint, and secondarily, from a ceremonial standpoint, when they would then come into the tabernacle and defile his tabernacle. This is unclean. You had to be washed and cleansed before you could come back into the tabernacle. Verse 27, whatsoever goeth upon his paws among all manner of beasts that go on all four, those are unclean unto you. Whoso toucheth their carcass shall be unclean until the even. He that beareth the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. They are unclean unto you.